The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Actually, make more sense to you as we get into the message. Sometimes you can't get to a point of just unadulterated praise until you've come through a crisis. Till you feel like it's just mission critical. The Lord, if I don't get a breakthrough because I'm getting ready to break down, but since what I'm going through hasn't broken me, I can give you praise, honor, and glory. But it won't get that for you if all you're dealing with is an inconvenience. But when you have mission critical, you've been through some stuff, you can say, Lord, for every trial you've seen me through, and it's for this I give you praise. For every mountain that you brought me over. For every trial, oh, you've seen me through. For every blessing, I can say hallelujah. For this, I can't help but give you praise. Lift your hands in the air. Give God some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you be praised in this house. You've just been that good. Oh, yeah, yeah. For every blessing, can't say but help say hallelujah. For this right now, it's all I have. I give you my most holy, precious, loving, giving, and forgiving God. We come to you, O Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not promised. All we have is right now. All we have is this moment. And Lord, for this, we give you praise. For somebody, they didn't think they'd make it this far, mentally, physically, emotionally, psychologically. But Lord, you've brought us over, you've brought us out, and you've brought us through, and you continue to bring us. For that, we say thank you. It is our hope and it is our prayer that you have been pleased with our praise. Now, Father God, we've come to the point to where now we need to hear a word from you. Speak to somebody's heart right now. Speak to somebody's mind right now. Give somebody, Lord, the answers to the questions that they seek. Lord, somebody needs to be delivered right now. Somebody needs to be set free right now. Somebody is seeking healing right now. Somebody is hopeless right now. Lord, you are a deliverer. You are the great I am. You are the King of kings and Lords of lords. Lord, you can do anything but fail. Do it right now in the name of Jesus. And help somebody to know that, yes, even for me, Christ died. Shed blood, was buried, rose again, even for me. Lord, even as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, to God, hide me that you would be seen. Silence me that you would be heard, and we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. And it's truly in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Stand to your feet. Mark chapter 5, 25 through 34 is from whence the word of God is going to come. For somebody right now, you in the press, and I understand, I know it gets difficult, it gets challenging when you're in the press. Yes, Lord, I know. I've been struggling. Somebody saying, Lord, if you don't do it, I don't know what I'm going to do. But Lord, I need you. Again, a familiar passage of scripture, but I need you to stick with me because this will be not only a message of healing and hope, but the Lord has asked me to speak prophetically to somebody here up under the sound of my voice. I don't know what you're going through or what you're dealing with, but the Holy Spirit does. My job is to be the mailman to deliver you the message that you need. The NIV version says, And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Verse 31 says, you see the people crowding against you. Disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know what you're going through. But the Holy Spirit made it fit that you would be here to hear this particular message from this particular passage. And on this morning, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to talk about a code blue. We want to talk about code blue. Amen. Those words may not mean anything to you necessarily right now, but if you happen to be in a hospital and you hear the words code blue, the whole atmosphere changes. Nurses and doctors go on high alert. The pace quickens because somebody has an emergency. Somebody's life or somebody's lives are hanging in the balance. And what those doctors and nurses do in the next few minutes will make the difference between life and death. Lord, help me to preach this morning. Code blue means it's an emergency. It means something has to be done quickly. In other words, this is not the time for you to procrastinate. It's not the time for you to put off or to let go or to be negligent. As a matter of fact, my brothers and my sisters, procrastination can be a killer of sorts. What do you mean, Pastor King? Well, people die of heart attacks and strokes every day because they procrastinate. Relationships, ministries, goals, hopes, and dreams die because of procrastination. some point in your life, everyone here, from the pulpit to the door, the left to my right, everybody has a code blue situation. As a matter of fact, I believe that's why the Holy Spirit gave this message to me today, because somebody here under the sound of my voice, I don't know who you are. I don't need to know. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're seated. But somebody here under the sound of my voice, you are in a code blue emergency situation right now, and things are critical. Now, what happens is people hears certain words, and so sometimes things get watered down. Words like emergency get watered down. See, I'm not just talking about something that's difficult for you. Preach, help me to preach, Lord. I'm not talking about something that's just making you uncomfortable or inconvenient or irritating. I'm talking about a full-fledged emergency. You see, the problem is, however, the people hear the word emergency, but you got to understand that emergency creates urgency. See, I believe there's not enough emergencies in the church because there's not enough urgency in the church. Folk think, I got until next Sunday to do this and that. Folk think they can take a Sunday off from giving God praise, honor, and glory. Well, see, emergency creates urgency. People behave differently in an emergency than they do in any other time. But here's the challenge. Here's the challenge, Finley. See, the problem is we have things that happen in our lives that we think of as emergencies, but are actually just inconveniences. Teach, Holy Ghost. See, we think it's an emergency when the Wi-Fi or the internet goes down. We think it's an emergency when it's hot outside and the AC quits working. We think it's an emergency when we run out of Coke or Pepsi, Diet Coke or Mountain Dew. We think it's an emergency when we have a bad hair day or we break a nail. I know I'm talking up in here. Come on, somebody. But those aren't really emergencies. Those are merely inconveniences. They are not a matter of life and death. Here in our text, this woman had more than an inconvenience. Sister Cargill, she had more than a bad hair day. Finley, her problem was bigger than no internet service. She wasn't thinking about a busted water line up under her basement. Teach, Holy Ghost. This woman had a true emergency. This was a code blue situation requiring some immediate action. This was a matter of life and death. She had exhausted everything at her disposal. She had depleted her resources. Her money was gone. Her strength was gone. Her friends were gone. And I believe even her hope was just about gone. Am I talking to somebody here? She had been to many doctors. She had spent everything she had, and yet she was worse before getting better. But then the text says that she heard. Come on, somebody. She heard about Jesus. And my Bible tells me that faith cometh by. I need some Bible readers in here. Hearing by the word of God. When she heard about Jesus, I can believe that her faith was rejuvenated. Hope began to spring up in her heart. But here's something I don't want you to miss from this text right here, because he will stay stuck on when she heard about Jesus. That's a good thing. But watch the text, because you have to see the next thing she did. The Bible says that she heard about Jesus. But then the next thing she did was she went to where Jesus was. God Almighty. Good God Almighty. In other words, she pursued him. Yeah. You see, I hear a whole lot of people say that I don't believe that I have to go to church to get healed. Teach Holy Ghost. I don't have to go to where the preacher is to get healed. Well, you don't. But there are times when God will use men and women to bring his anointing to within reach, but it's after you to go after it. Good God Almighty, what are you saying, Pastor King? Well, let me take you to a passage of scripture. I hope you didn't close your Bible. If you did, open it back up. Amen. I'm going to take you over to a passage in 2 Kings chapter 6. Verses 5 through 7, that's Old Testament. I'm going to show you how the Old and the New Testament connect. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. I want to show you something here. I'm going to veer off for just a moment. I'm not going to read it. I know it's on the slide, but I want you to know this. 2 Kings chapter 6, 5 through 7, it tells a story of a young prophet who borrowed an axe. And as he was working, the axe head flew off. And it went into the water and it sank. The Bible says that he called Elisha, the man of God, the prophet. And he said, oh, no, my Lord, he cried out. He said it was borrowed. When the young prophet pointed to the place where it fell, the text says that Elisha, again, the man of God, cut down a stick and he threw it in the water. And he made the iron or the axe head float to the surface. Watch this. But then the man of God, I'm talking about the prophet, told the young prophet, he said, pick it up. Y'all ain't there. Come on, y'all got to get with me in here. So the Bible says he reached and he took it. Why did God send me to that illustration? Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Give me preaching power, Lord. Because you see, the axe head didn't just jump out the water onto the axe handle. Now, don't think that God couldn't do that. God is an awesome God. God can do anything that he wants to do whenever he wants to do. He could have done it that way, but that's not what he did. No, but what he did do was allow the axe head to float close enough to be within reach of the young prophet, but then the young prophet had to go after it. In other words, he had to do something. Said on yesterday at Deacon Gerton's homegoing celebration, I said that obedience follows faith. Amen. Amen. Going somewhere. You see, the point is, sometimes you have to go after what God says that he has for you. If you are really desperate, you won't complain about having to stretch a little bit. You'll do whatever it takes. Whatever is needed to get what you need. I'll take it even a little step further. If you take a note, you can write this down. You may get a blessing just by being in the right place at the right time. But when you need a miracle, good God Almighty, when you need a breakthrough, it's going to cost you more than you just sitting complacent. Amen. When you need a miracle, a breakthrough, it's going to cost you something. Back in our text, this woman put herself in the press. This woman was in a desperate condition. She had an issue that was killing her. Now, her issue was a blood problem. Her life was draining out of her. Sister Lewis, hear me today, somebody. I'm talking to somebody here. I told you I'm speaking prophetically to somebody and profoundly to some others. Her issue was a blood problem. But for somebody here, your issue might be rejection. Her issue was a blood problem. But for somebody here, your issue may be bitterness. Her issue was a blood problem. But for somebody, your issue may be anger. Her issue was a blood problem. But for you, your issue might be resentment. Her issue was a blood problem. But your issue may be jealousy or envy. Her issue was a blood problem. But your issue is revenge and unforgiveness. But whatever your issue was, just like her issue was doing to her, it was draining the life out of her. So it is with somebody here. Your issue is draining the life out of you. But the thing that makes this woman different from a lot of people, even churchgoers, thing that makes this woman different from a lot of people is, watch this, is she knew she had an issue, and she knew that it was killing her, and she wanted to be freed, and she wanted to get well. There are too many people who come to church in denial, denying that anything is even wrong because they want everything to look right with them. We got too much pretense in the church, amen. But this one, we got too much cute and curtsy in the church. But she didn't have time to be cute. She didn't have time to be proper. She knew it was a matter of life and death. Look at here. When all you want is a blessing, a spiritual boost, or a spiritual pick-me-up, Crutchfield, you can tiptoe through the tulips. For some of y'all, you can play hard to get if you want to. But when it's a matter of life and death, every minute counts. And you don't have time to mess around. As a matter of fact, turn to your neighbor. Don't get nervous. You ain't telling your business. But turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't have time for mess and messiness in my life right now. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on. Tell them, tell them, tell them. They didn't believe you. Tell somebody else. Say, neighbor, I don't have time for mess and messiness in my life right now. I ain't telling my business, but I ain't got time for no messing around right now. Don't have time for that. When it's a matter of life and death, every minute counts, and you just don't have time to mess around. This woman, in essence, said, the Bible says, if I can just touch his clothes. Some translations say the hem of his garment. She said, I know I'll be healed. Believe that sanctified imagination, if you can hear talking, you would probably have heard her saying, get out my way, huh? Pain, she said, let me through. I've got to touch him because he's my last hope. In other words, this thing that's on me is killing me. It's killing my joy. It's killing my peace. It's killing my hopes. It's killing my dreams. It's killing my home. It's killing my ministry. It's killing my mission. I'm talking to somebody. It's killing me. She knew she was risking her life to be in contact even with the public. But this woman had made up her mind. She said, listen, I have come too far to be denied. Amen. I've come too far to be denied. The devil has tried to kill me before I got here, but I made it. Good God Almighty. I almost died along the way, but I made it. I've been lied on, stepped on, stabbed in the back, mistreated, but I made it. I might not be pretty, come on somebody, but I'm here. Come on somebody. For somebody here, you may be saying, I'm divorced, but I'm here. I'm broken, but I'm here. Somebody say, I've been in prison, but I'm here. I've got a drug problem, but I'm here. I've got a drinking problem, but I'm here. I'm fighting the spirit of lust, but I'm here. I've got an anger management problem, but I'm here. I've got bills due and overdue. I don't know where the money is coming from, but I'm here. I've got aches and pains all through my body, but I'm here. I'm worried, stressed, and distressed, but I'm here. And for this, I give you praise because I'm here. Amen. The doctors couldn't fix me. The lawyers couldn't fix me. The medication couldn't fix me. Something was wrong with me. Something is broke. I can't fix it. But I heard about a doctor who could heal anything and heal anybody. She said, I don't have an appointment. Come on, somebody. But this is an emergency. She said, I've got to touch him. And when she touched him, the Bible says that she was immediately whole. Amen. One touch and everything changed. One touch and the blood stopped flowing. One touch and her issue was healed. Talking to somebody, one touch can set you free. One touch is all it takes to change your life. Do me a favor and touch three people. Just touch them with your finger and tell them, just touch them and just say that's all it takes. Yeah, just touch three people. Yeah, just touch them. Just say that's all it takes. Yeah. I didn't say Midas, I said the master. Come on, somebody. Just one touch from the master. That's all it takes. If you're taking notes, write this down. There's a difference. Oh, Jesus. Stephanie. There's a difference between a need and an emergency. Oh, Jesus. Ooh. I said there's a difference between a need and an emergency. See, I can go a long time with a need. But when it's an emergency, come on, somebody. I can't afford every minute, every second counts. And when it's an emergency, I recognize that every minute is a gift from God. When it's an emergency, I know that every minute is a gift from God. And what happens in those minutes can mean the difference between life and death. That's the difference. It's the difference between a need and an emergency. Folk say, you needy. Folk are just needy, needing your attention. But because it ain't an emergency, you ain't gave them your attention yet. But there are all kinds of emergencies. Could be your marriage that's hanging on by a thread. Could be your health. Could be your emotional state. Could be your spiritual life. Could be your finances. I don't know what your emergency is today, but I know this, The doctor's in the house. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And Dr. Jesus is on call. And the great physician is here to heal. And here's the good news. You don't even have to have an appointment. Did you catch what I just said? Huh? He ain't 2 weeks out trying to see folk. He ain't seeing you in August or July or August. Amen. You don't even need to have an appointment to see Dr. Jesus. All you need is to have mustard grain faith. That's all you need. Just a little bit of faith. One of the greatest things that about Dr. Jesus is he ain't afraid of the hard cases. He's not even afraid of emergency situations. Listen. Doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't mean that you are that bad as a person. It just means that your situation is bad. But no matter how bad it is, amen. And it doesn't matter how long you've had it, Jesus can handle it. So I get ready to close. I said earlier that the Holy Spirit gave me this message to speak to somebody here who would be here that has an emergency. You have a code blue situation. This woman suffered this condition for 12 years. And when this woman reached Jesus, remember, she didn't have any more money. No friends were helping her. See, some of y'all mad at your friends right now. Loose them and loose yourself. Loose them and loose yourself. This woman didn't even have any friends to help her. All she had was a living faith in the living Christ. And she believed that if I could just touch him, she could be healed. When her faith, watch this, when her faith touched Jesus, Jesus touched her, and she was made whole. Like this little woman, you may not be the first one in line. You may not have a dime in your pocket. You may feel like I don't have any help. You may feel like I have barely just a little bit of hope. But if you got faith, that if you can just get to Jesus, not only will your faith touch him, the Bible says your faith can stop him. When he stops in his tracks for you, he'll touch you, and he'll heal you, and he'll deliver you, and he'll restore you. Listen, I don't care how bad it looks. I'm talking to somebody, you need to know he can turn it around. I don't care how impossible it looks to you. Jesus can turn it around. I need to tell somebody, don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't turn the switch of your faith off. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place, and he is here to deliver. He is here to restore. He is here to set free. As a matter of fact, as the doors of the church are open, amen. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody here is ready to come off the critical list. Somebody is ready to take a turn for the better right now. And what I want to speak prophetically to somebody here is that you, and I don't know who you are, but I'm talking to somebody, that you are about to come into a season of breakthrough after breakthrough. And you're going to come into a season of breakthrough after breakthrough, because what you went through didn't break you. Did you see what I just said? All you need to do is have some faith. You're about to come into a season of breakthrough after breakthrough, because what you went through didn't break you. The devil has tried to use it to break you down. But what he meant for evil, God meant for good. You need to know. You say, I've been dealing with this for so long. I'm carrying this weight on my shoulders. I'm carrying this burden in my heart. And I don't care if it's 12 days, 12 weeks, 12 months, 12 years, or longer. You saying, this just must be how it's going to be for me. No, God says, no. You're thinking wrong. But if you just get to a point of thinking that if you can just let go and let God, quit trying to fix it for yourself, but fix your mind on Jesus, you'll realize that God.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.